Off the Ball Breakfast.
Your projection now around this conversation.
No, I'm not projecting. I'm fascinated by you as it is. I'm even more interested in you in terms of this topic.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
LOI Late Night on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol free.
Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie.
Ah, good evening, gathered. League of Ireland Cognoscenti, welcome to LOI Late Night in a partnership with Rockshore 00 on Off the Ball, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie. It's Cameron Hill in the chair once again this evening. Hope you are all keeping very well on this Friday night in August. Plenty of talking points from the games before tonight, maybe not so much tonight. We will get into all of tonight's action and all of tonight's thoughts from around League of Ireland land with Shane Keegan. Good evening, Shane.
Cameron, how are you keeping? I was half expecting to get a text to tell me that tonight's show is cancelled. but I'm sure we'll manage to plow on.
Well, yeah, we'll find something to talk about. Don't you worry. Johnny Ward is also there. Good evening, Johnny.
Yeah, I don't know. I spent 90 to 100 minutes tonight watching Derry City versus Drogheda, so I don't know if you could call me being there in any shape or form, but I actually don't know what to say after that. It was just to add salt to the wound, I've had about 4 or 5 League of Ireland bets all season. I somehow managed to bet Derry City to beat Cork City tonight, and they couldn't do it. And I don't want to get the trumpet out, but Derry City are now the team that I hate most in the league for always calling them wrong every single week. And that was one of the worst games of football I've ever seen. Like, it was so bad. How are you, Cameron?
I'm not too bad. Let's before we get a couple of callers on and probably throw cold water on what was, as you say, a pretty forgettable night in the Premier Division, I'll just go through the scores. So Drogheda 0, Waterford 0, and Derry City 0, Cork City 0. And if that's all we have to say about tonight's games, all the better, because there were a couple of good games in the First Division. Dundalk hitting Athlone for 6-1 at Oriel Park. They remain top tonight. Cove Ramblers were 2-0 winners at Bray Wanderers. So the playoff picture takes another twist this evening, especially with UCD winning 1-0 at Wexford. And Finn Harps go all the way back up to Donegal with the 3 points from Kerry. 1-0 was how it finished there. Just before we get into tonight, just to remind you of some of the European results from last night, as if St. Pat's fans needed any reminding about how yesterday finished, Simon Power putting the gloss on what was a very difficult night, 4-1 to Besiktas at Tala Stadium. Shamrock Rovers lost 1-0 away to Balkany in Kosovo. So by no means plain sailing for them so far. I know it was billed to be a tricky fixture even by Stephen Bradley himself, but he said it was one of the worst performances, scores below what they've put in this year, so might be a few talking points from that one. Shelburne 2-1 winners over Rijeka in Croatia, so they are in the driving seat ahead of that return leg in Talca Park next Tuesday. So lots to get into there, I suppose. Where would you like to begin tonight, Shane, before we get to our first caller?
Yeah, look, I suppose probably the biggest talking point of League of Ireland tonight is how much it makes the remaining fixtures from the weekend of importance, really, to be honest with you, because points dropped by Derry, points dropped by Drogheda, that makes tomorrow's game between Shelburne and Bowes absolutely massive, in my opinion. It really, really does. If Bowes were able to take all 3 points, against Shells, I see it as almost impossible for Shells to close any to catch them back up after that. I mean, there's a 4 point gap. If they were able to make it a 7 point gap at this late stage in the season, it's hard to see how Shells would manage to surmount that. Whereas if they can get the win and build on what was an absolutely outstanding European result, if they got a win and closed it to 1. A Shelburne team that looked, you know, very much like European football was beyond them, all of a sudden qualifying for Europe again starts to become a very, very, very real possibility. And that's before we even look at the Sunday game. So, yeah, I think the talking points here are still to come from this weekend, probably, Cameron, is the best way to put it.
Yeah, it's probably a fair way to get us into our first caller, because it is to Derry we go tonight, and Marty is standing by. Good evening, Marty. It's been a while since we heard from you and from the Derry scene, and I think we'll give you the floor in terms of describing tonight's game. Maybe you can put it in more flattering terms than myself, Shane or Johnny have been able to so far.
Thanks, Cameron. We haven't had a game on a Friday in a while, maybe. That's why, apart from the Bowls game, but I was a bit busy after that match for obvious reasons, so I couldn't get on, you know. There was a bit of excitement up there after the game against Bowls. But now I wouldn't have anything good to say about it tonight. We weren't too bad in the first half. Like, a couple of good chances, should have had one or two, but that's been the team of the last few weeks. Like, the last four games, we haven't won. We've been very good. Well, not very good, but good in the first half, especially against Rovers last week, where we should have had a couple of goals. And we just come out after the half time and we're absolutely appalling. And we haven't scored after half in a long time either. So I don't know what's going on in the dressing room at half time, but that seems to be the team I've noticed is that we're just appalling in the second half, and tonight was no different. And the thing that frustrates the fans the most is, like, we play this way, like, where we have three centre backs and kind of four in front. It's kind of like a back seven almost. And he just won't go away from that, no matter how much. Like, we're 2-0 down against Rovers last week, and they finished with more attackers than we did on the pitch. He just will not go away from the kind of back seven, as I'd call it. And again tonight, just go for it. Like, throw on an extra attacker, throw on someone instead of this back seven. And we're so deep, we're just throwing balls in on top of Cork then. They're loving it. They're just heading them away. That's what they want. So, yeah, it's just too defensive. I don't know much about the Niffle, but I don't know if you can do that in the League of Ireland and expect to win the league. Like, you have to go for games when you're down.
Johnny, Cork City had one shot on target tonight. That out of one shot. So they were very much sitting back. Like, it just feels like Derry absolutely played into their hands.
Yeah, like, you know what Cork are going to do when they come up. So, like, we have to find a way to break them down. And I've alluded to before, like, Will Patching was amazing for us. He probably had a bad end. But you need that player to unlock these teams. And we just haven't replaced them. We brought in this guy, Frizzle, and nobody's seen him. He's played, like, 5 or 10 minutes here or there, and he didn't even get on tonight again. So the transfer window, I think, has wrecked us again, to be honest. I think we've lost the likes of Pat Hoban and Kevin Holt, and I don't know, like, look at the guys who have coming in now. Look, time will show, hopefully, that I'm wrong, but I think we've kind of weakened the squad again. Same happened to us last year and we fell apart, and it looks like a similar enough case this year.
Yeah, Cameron, I've been praiseworthy enough of Derry over the last couple of months anyway. I thought, like, watched them at an inch of core, thought they were getting there. The team they put out tonight, as Marty kind of probably alludes to, they didn't really have enough attacking players necessarily on the pitch. You know, like, you look at Adam O'Reilly, Hayden Cann, Mark Conley, Jamie Scott, Diallo, even Winchester, Fleming. Their attacking players were basically Boyce, White and Duffy, which is a sort of a nominal three up front, but it almost felt like Liam Boyce up front on his own at times. And it was one of those nights, again, I'm getting a feel from watching a game on LOI TV, but the atmosphere seems so bad at a lot of these games, and sometimes it's maybe the way it's carried, but it felt like there was no atmosphere at the game, and it felt like they kind of needed a goal, like, fairly early on, just to relax the fans, get the fans going, and ultimately get the team to relax. And the longer it went on, as much as Tiernan Lynch made changes, like, the Cork City, you referenced Cork City had one shot and goal on target. I think that was a Sean Maguire shot that's, like, just, like, trickled into Brian Maher's hands. And just as I made this point last week about watching very, very bad games as a neutral, Conor Brann went down with, there was about 50 minutes left, Conor Brann went down, and of course, like, the eyes go up to, there's no such thing as heaven, but the eyes go up to the sky when you see a goalkeeper going down. He literally winked at his physio coming over. The physio came over. Conor Brann winked at him. We've gotten to the stage now where the goalkeepers are like, it's almost like an in-joke where they can have this, like, body language with the physio to imply, I'm absolutely grand. And the last thing that game needed for any neutral was more of it. It was a shocker of a game. And unless we can somehow get this right with this deliberate time wasting by teams to kill off games and to have, like, you know, chats on the sideline, like, like nobody who went to that game tonight, if it was his first or her first game of football, would ever want to watch a football game again. It was shocking. And this stuff is really demoralizing at this stage, where games are being killed off by teams trying to, you know, kill off time. And Drogheda obviously were very bad at it last week as well. But in fairness to Cork, like, I must give them some credit. They were completely down and out, I thought, after that Sligo Rovers result. They were lucky last week to play the only team in the league that is in as bad, if not worse, form than them in Galway United. And in fairness, tonight against a Derry team that cost so much money to put together, they limited them to, like, Derry barely had a chance. They literally barely had one chance in the whole game. That's how bad it was. Like, I think there were about four shots on target in total. It was honestly one of the worst games I've ever seen. But, like, Tiernan Lynch does deserve questions over that, because if Derry, like, Derry are in serious danger of not making Europe at the moment, which would be a shocking return, really, given the money that's invested and the momentum that they were picking up in the last few weeks. But I should give Cork some credit, and I'm sure Marty will as well, that they did try, which is obviously the least thing you're looking for. Sean Maguire was kind of anonymous throughout the game. I thought he was disappointing. So they were almost playing like they were literally just, every time they had a counter-attack, it looked like it was just going to fizzle out quickly, which it did. But in fairness, they did try for their manager, and they gave themselves a glimmer of hope. But I was desperately disappointed in Derry tonight.
Yeah, Marty, I suppose the one thing that's striking me just looking at the team sheet from tonight and how Derry have recruited. Well, we had very early in last season, we had a couple of Dundalk fans on talking about how there was so little LOI experience in one of their starting 11s, like very early on, I think maybe the second game of the season. And like, there's a bit of that, like a bit of non-League of Irelanditis about this team. The players that they've brought in, the likes of Carl Winchester, Gavin White, Depot on the bench tonight, those are players that obviously Tiernan Lynch had targeted. But is there something to that, that they're just, he's not playing League of Ireland tactics and he doesn't have a whole load of League of Ireland familiar players that he can employ?
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, a lot of people want to say like the Derry project was all money, but it wasn't. Like, when Rory came in a couple of years ago, like, he picked off a lot of the best players in the fourth division, like Brian Marby, a good example, Ryan Graydon, or players like that were not getting game, like for like Adam O'Reilly at Pats. So we were picking in good young players from around the League of Ireland and then adding in like a Pat Hoban here or there, or Michael Duffy, like, to augment it with the real talent. I don't know what's happened in the last year. Like, we're just going to England now all the time, to the lower leagues of England. And it's starting to really annoy people up in Derry. Like, especially, like, see, I'd be a huge fan of Sam Todd, like, for example, and he's probably been one of the best defenders in the league. And he's just been put out of the team in the last few games for this guy, Jamie Stott, from, he played 20 games or something for Forest Green last year. And we don't want to see that. Like, if we do have guys from up in Derry, or Donegal in Todd's case, like, we want to see them given a chance. And like, and I don't know what it says to the rest of the players in the team as well. Like, there seems to be favourites up there. Like, Boyce would be a great example. Like, the fans don't like Liam Boyce, to be clear. He does, he's one of these players, like, he is good, he's a good finisher, but he just doesn't like, if he goes into a 50-50 rant, he just won't put any effort into it. The fans don't really like him, but it doesn't matter what he does, he'll get a game. He's been appalling for weeks now, apart from his hat-trick in the cup. And Depot played very well the last couple of games, but tonight it's Boyce instead of Depot. And or this guy Stott is coming in to take Todd's place, and Todd's done nothing wrong. He's been very good. So yeah, to go back, like, yeah, there seems to be a change in transfer strategy for sure since Lynch came in. And even like, if you look at Higgins last window, the likes of Andre Wisdom and all are coming in, and I don't know what's causing that. Like, I did allude to before that we can't go past the UK and Ireland because of Brexit. But the model that we had of, you know, going to the fourth division, and like, you see players moving all the time now that I think like he'd be a great signing for Derry, like, and we're just not going for the Irish players anymore. I don't know why.
But Marty, it's very disappointing because like, it's only a month ago or so, I would say roughly four to 6 weeks ago, that we thought things were really, really starting to shape up for you. Like, you had that run where you won what, 3-4 on the bounce, maybe there or thereabouts.
Oh yeah,
but what? Probably half and one in the last four or five, and it just, you know, we were saying that it looked like things were slowly coming together. And I know in particular, White really caught the eye during that period. I thought he looked like he was flying at the time Boyce was starting to score goals. Like, what? Why is it unraveled again? Or what's led to it kind of dissipating again?
Well, what happened was we went down to we won 4 in a row and we went down to Sligo. And Sligo, obviously, were in great form. And Kevin Holt, who was probably our best defender anyway, he handed in a transfer request or something the night before or a day or two before. He wouldn't play. He said he was injured. So we couldn't play him. We won 4 in a row, sorry, with the same team. Mm. And he was part of that. And so we had to put Shane Ferguson in, who obviously was a great pro in England, but since he's come back over here, he just hasn't looked up to it at all. We had to move Todd back into the left centre half. So we had Ferguson on left wing back then. He hadn't played in weeks. And that just really unsettled the team. And we didn't play well anyway, but I think we had the same team for that 4 in a row win. And we just didn't react. We didn't respond to the whole thing at all. Like, you know, the Holt gone out of that team kind of wrecked us, and we haven't recovered since then. I think against Bowes then after that, we weren't too bad. Like, we had a rake of chances, but again, it was the second half thing where we were 1-0 up at half time. We could have been 2 or 3 and just come out after half time. Then Rovers, I'm sure everyone's seen it, like Duffy hitting the post and all. We looked quite good in the first half. Well, I think they made a change at half time, just blew us away in the second half. And tonight it was the same. Like, we did have 1 or 2 decent chances. I know Johnny's still sore that he lost the money, but the first half probably wasn't as bad as it was. But the second half was probably the worst game of football I can remember in a long time.
It's disappointing that such a key player can be lost to Scottish Championship level. Look, I know the chap is Scottish himself. Maybe it was a level of...
But he's kind of... Sorry. He's gone from 4th place with Dundee last year. He was one of the best defenders in that league. He was a huge signing for us. He's come over here for 6 months and whatever. He said he wanted to go back to his daughters or something. And he's ended up back in the Scottish Championship. So I hope the money's worth it. But like, he's done himself out of... Like, Dundee were playing in Europe last night. Yeah. And he down tools on them to come to Derry for money. And then he's down tools on us. So, you know, I don't know who's advising him on his career. But it's some downturn, like, where he could have been playing in Europe last night for Dundee. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a curious time up on Foyle's side. But thank you so much for jumping on, Marty. We'll talk to you again very soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, cheers.
And just to say as well that for everything about Simon Brand going down and the whatever the gamesmanship there was a really serious injury, it looked like, for Charlie Lutz towards the end of that game. Not a pretty sight. Head injury, it looked like. So we hope... We hope that he's okay, but not. I don't know. Maybe we'll get a Drogheda fan, but I think it would be in all of our best interest to maybe draw a line under tonight.
Yeah, I came back. I watched the game up at my mate's house. The Derry game, streamed it, and when I came back to the home place, it's only 5 minutes away, I turned on the TV, and Virgin had listed that they were shown like a League of Ireland game. And I was like, oh, Jesus, I hope one of them games wasn't on tonight. And it turns out it was actually, like, they hadn't updated their listings. And it was a documentary on Stormy Daniels. But, like, that was definitely more entertaining. Definitely, definitely, definitely.
I saw that. The Chase was on.
Right. More entertaining as well.
And I assume that's to do with, like, obviously it's the North Dublin Derby tomorrow. And that's where that's their game this week. But I imagine it was a choice between Drogheda United, which was a disaster last time they did a game up there, or going all the way up to Derry. And if there's a game in Talca Park tomorrow night on your doorstep, it's probably the smarter move from their point of view.
Yeah, but, tomorrow's going to be compelling as well, as Shane spoke about it there. Like, it's one of these... I don't know, Shane, like, where are you as Joey O'Brien going into this game? Like, what do you... Like, you're right, it's a game that if they win and the battle for Europe next season has to be a priority, but ultimately if they kind of win this round and nothing else happens for them this season financially and everything else, it'll be worth it, kind of. And like, it's not as if Joey inherited a situation where they were in great nick in regards to Europe. So I don't know, on the psychologically the players, where will they be at for this game is a hard one to call for me.
Yeah, I think he'll have to make changes without making wholesale changes, because it's, you know, a good result, a positive result tomorrow, obviously, from a psychological point of view, would continue the brilliant momentum that they'll have got from the other night's result. Whereas, you know, it can be very up and down. You know, we had it probably the year that we were in Europe with Dundalk, where we were getting great results in Europe midweek and then coming back domestically and doing kind of pretty shit, to be honest. And, you know, it's not ideal if they could follow up with a good result tomorrow, but it is, you are balancing the bodies. Like, you are definitely balancing the bodies. The key players, I don't know how many key players he'd be asking to go flat out 3 games in what will be, 7-8 days.
The game is on Tuesday, yeah, so it's even less. Like, it's less. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see Cameron, Mr. Duff, was back in the League of Ireland beat this evening?
Was he?
And not where you'd expect him. He turned up at Bray and Cove Ramblers tonight.
Ooh. That's interesting.
Whatever led him to choose that as his game. I suppose he is probably his local club, Johnny, still, is it? It's you would have grown up with anyway, isn't it?
I met two absolute randomers in the street in Dublin today, and as they were leaving, Damien Duff came into conversation and they were like, what's next for Damien Duff? And they had their own things. But yeah, that would be his local club. It's, some people would speculate now that he would love if he comes back into the League of Ireland, maybe a project or something like that. I do see him coming back to the League of Ireland at some stage, and it's interesting he was at that game now, because I don't think Damien Duff is the type to be doing nothing anyway, put it that way, because I don't know when he's going to be back. But it must be really weird being Damien Duff and watching or not watching or whatever that game, like in Croatia the other night, because like they're, you know, essentially all his players, and seeing what they've done and you know, figuring out like, well, what would I have done differently, or what would I be saying on the sideline, how would I be motivating them now? And it was all on him that he's not there.
I can't think of a better way to bring in Shane Kennedy here. Good evening, Shane. How are you?
Well, hey, lads. All good, yeah. Looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah. Before we get to tomorrow, I have to ask, you didn't make the trip over to Croatia, did you?
No. And we must not forget, though, that we did play Sligo in the meantime. And there was really criticism of us. I thought we were absolutely brilliant for a team that just came back, 72 hours after travelling to Azerbaijan. We controlled the game. They had 2 chances from set pieces. That's grand. Like, but he didn't threaten us. We won the game 2-0. Like, if Shamrock Rovers done that, I'd only get too far ahead of myself. But Shamrock Rovers done that, he'd be, well done. We dominate the whole game. Like, I know they had Kane Kavanagh, but it was a free kick from a set piece, back post, headed across the box. You're not giving away anything back.
It's a pretty good goal from Ali Coote.
Yeah, and John Russell was, as every manager does, like to talk about the chances they missed, but we went 1-0 up and then Meepo misses a sitter, and that could have been 2-0. So before we go on to Wednesday, don't forget that we've done well, like, but Tuesday, no, we didn't go over. A few of my family did, and obviously some close friends did, like, which is, some of them described it as better than dirty, like, I think the whole cage thing, which is quite funny.
That's class, isn't it?
There definitely was a bit of FOMO there now, to be honest. Like,
I was thinking of you, Shane, looking at that cage and everyone going absolutely nuts.
Yeah, and we didn't win anything, but I think we know how big he looked over us last night, saying, oh, we're still in the tie and we're behind. We're going into Tuesday ahead. And you can't forget about tomorrow. There will 100% be a rotation, and whatever happens tomorrow happens. I suppose it's lucky for both that they're playing us now tomorrow, because you'd imagine Caffrey will come back in, which is good for us, because the bang, to be fair to him, was brilliant. Like, he was perfect. And what I think of it, I was crediting Tiernan Lynch there last month for playing us with the 2-10s. I think Derry became a bit predictable, and they played it tonight again, where Joey O'Brien, all credit to him, he's chopping and changing the team, the formation in the match.
Yeah,
starting 11s, he's playing to the opposition, he's playing to the conditions, which I've been seriously impressed with. Like, Even the bank coming in, Evan Caffrey's been our best player all season. I've said it on here many times. He wasn't what we needed on Wednesday just gone. We needed a defender. And he left out his captain, and he left out, arguably, in my opinion, his best player. For I think JJ and Kerr played, and then in Bang, he was only in the door, came in for like Kafa. And Marek Jankovic, who was their star man outside of Fruk, he didn't get a sniff off him. Like,
yeah, it's there's proper kind of strength in depth there with a couple of signings after coming in, Shane, isn't there? Like, you can now make a few changes tomorrow and still put, like, it's not even weakening, you know, there's probably, okay, there's still some key men there, so there is, but there's probably 6-7 players that you can take them out, replace them with a different 6-7, and the panel is, thus the starting 11 isn't really weakened a whole lot. And listen, that's going to be massive, because you can't look for the same 11 fellas to go what is it, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday. But yeah, I was surprised with some of the calls that he made in the game. I was surprised to see Caffrey out, definitely. I was also surprised to see Kyle out. But listen, the result just gives you, you know, means you got your calls right.
That's exactly it. And I suppose Kyle and Kafa are probably looking at him going, I'm not playing here. But Kyle hasn't played midfield all season. Mm. And JJ is better on the ball. So, like, you can't argue with that. And then Sam Bowen coming in, like, hasn't played much. But again, set pieces, they're big at the back. And I say, I don't know if I said it before, but they won the league close. They're not a very offensive team. And they were missing Fluke. He's huge on Tuesday. Like, but they actually play tomorrow. I was looking at it, which is a big advantage for us. They play 4.5 hours away match tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. You'd imagine that's not ideal either. Like, you know, their season's only at the start. But yeah, Tuesday, whatever happens, Wednesday's performance will definitely help for win, lose, or if we don't go through, whatever. But that performance on Tuesday, as I think I said, someone said during the week that our away record isn't great. I think it was Alan Hurley, I think. So whatever happens, that will stand to us as a team, as a squad. That result will definitely help us for hopefully the next round, whatever round that is, our competition.
I know it's early days, like, for Joey, but like the quality of that first goal in terms of a set piece move, I thought was absolutely brilliant. Like, and like, you're looking at like Sam Bowen, who hasn't looked that great for me when he has been playing like this season, coming in, like Daniel Kelly coming on for me so early in the game, and then John Martin, who obviously didn't start, like having fucking massive roles. Really, it's really impressive. And the biggest thing for me was with Shells of the Night was to give away a goal as bad as that and just have the composure to still just play their game and win the game.
Yeah, well, the worst goal was key. You always say you're most vulnerable when you scored, and I think we went after them straight away. And as I said, Sam Ballon coming in, he hasn't played much football, but I think he looks pretty composed on the ball. He's got 2 feet. He's not the most mobile of the fellas, like, but that's where he's a proper defender. Like, and the set piece is definitely, and it's something new because it's Chuck, that is the smallest player on the pitch that runs off the back, and they don't follow him because obviously he's not a threat. Like, but it's well worked. Like, you're surprised that the 5-4 fella is heading the back stick header, but he's free. So it's something that was obviously well worked out the training ground, like, which is great to see from Joey and Davey Mack. Like, but yeah, no, I think Boydy going off early is probably a hint that tomorrow John Martin we have to play, Meebo have to play, so we are lacking a fit striker. I'd imagine Martin probably would have wanted to come on a bit later in the game, but Boydy went off. Looks like he's probably done his calf again. I think I spoke about that, to put a realistic view on things. Like, again, he looks like he's injured, which is, it is what it is. We all love Boydy, but it looks like he's out again. So Meepo came off at half time, I think. So I don't know who was going to play up front tomorrow. You'd imagine Ali K will be back in. But it's a big game, and to be honest, that those results tonight makes our game tomorrow I don't want to say a free hit, like, but if we lose tomorrow, it's like, we're in the midst of Europe, like. But those two results tonight probably push Bowes too far ahead of us, but it makes us be able to catch the other two, so it gives us even more confidence tomorrow, I think. And I said that last week about Sligo, well, not Sligo, there was a match last week I said give us more confidence about, but those two results tonight even help us. I think Bowes and Derry last week, Bowes and Derry Drew last week going into Sligo helped us.
Yeah, I think the thing with tomorrow, Cameron, for Shells is that, like, you have to, and like as Shane alluded to there, you have to, as a manager, be able to demonstrate to your players, like, I'm absolutely flexible in terms of whom I'm playing, and I don't have a set, like, I don't have necessarily favourites, I don't have a set 11, and the team I play, you'll have peripheral players starting tomorrow night, even Meepo might start again, because, you know, obviously he was taken off so early on Wednesday, but it's like, you have a chance here, and you have to perform, so you have to have those players in the fringes who will come in, and ultimately it should be a 50-50-ish game at home to Bowes, and you want those players to think that if they can work their way in, and like it's not kind of we're playing you here, but you won't have any parts to play next week. But he's been very impressive, Joey. Like I've been disappointed with Shells for much of the season, but like that was a truly, truly outstanding win the other night.
Shane Keegan, just to up on something Johnny said there, like that's a very interesting point, is that like for players who might have felt that, you know, Joey O'Brien would be just the continuity candidate after Duffer left, that he's really set down the marker and said, look, it's going to be carte blanche. You guys all have to prove something to me. And maybe that has something to do with the nature of how Duffer left and basically said that the players just weren't giving enough. But it's a remarkable achievement to be on those terms with those players and have everyone fighting for you.
Yeah, well, listen, I think everybody knows Joey's a very strong character, and what, as big and all of a as a personality that Damien Duff is, and this is why it was a no-brainer in, you know, I'm not speaking of hindsight here, I think we all thought it was a bit of a no-brainer for Joey to be appointed, because coming after such a big personality as Damien, you needed somebody to come in who was going to be very sure of themselves and be their own man and not try and be Duffer light or not try and you know, not pale into insignificance in terms of comparison to Duffer. And, you know, Joey's very, very, you know, comes across a very, very self-assured guy. And I would say he instantly commanded respect within that dressing room and was very, very much going to go about things his own way, and not follow what had just been left there before. So it doesn't surprise me that he's making some big calls, and he is making some big calls, and he's not afraid to change it either, as we saw, you know, with the halftime changes have become regular enough. I think Shane Kennedy might tell me on that. I think I've seen it a couple of times. Obviously, we saw it again the other night with Dickie coming on for Meepo at halftime. I don't think it was injury related. I think it was just a tactical change. So it's not even just one player for another player in a similar position. I think it does change the tactical dynamic of the game. And he's shown, as we've said there, he's shown real tactical flexibility. And, you know, things could scarcely been going much better for him since he came into the role, really, to be honest.
Do you, Shane, as managers, would you have I think managers see the game differently to certainly pundits and all that, but like how much stock or how much like interpretation is or acceptance among managers that, oh yeah, he's very good at changing stuff in-game changes that, like, absolutely I can see something that needs to happen here, which obviously would have massively in terms of Derry tonight, Tiernan Lynch would have been accused of not achieving that. He didn't, because they actually got worse as the game went on. Like, are there managers that among you when you're as a manager, like, oh yeah, he's very good at changing, and you know if you come up against a guy, oh, he's going to be alive to something if something needs to be changed during the game?
Yeah, it is a huge part with Johnny. It's like you do so much prep during the week, and then you'll hear a manager say once the ball is thrown in, like, you know, it's over to the players. That's not the case, absolutely not the case, because you can still have such a big bearing on it. And some managers are more, like, there are some managers, Johnny, that you can set your watch by. Like, you know that on 60 minutes, he'll make, you know, in the modern game with the additional changes now, it used to be make a change on 60, make another change on 70. Now it's probably make a double change on 60, make another double change on 70, and then have one in reserve for heading down the stretch. again, that's what I'm saying. Joey's not following that protocol, really. He's making the calls earlier in the game. As you know, in, from a Premier League perspective in England, I'm a Spurs fan, as I think Shane Kennedy is as well, actually. And it was something that Postecoglou used to do a huge amount of. And I used to get so kind of pat him on the back that he'd make a change at halftime that it'd swing it in our favour. And then you'd come away thinking, well, why the fuck didn't he start that way, considering it made such a big difference when he changed it. And yeah, I just think, you know, Joey's very, very proactive in that sense. Look, you need to manage your dressing room. You know, you need to probably headline it to players that, you know, guys, this isn't, you don't need to feel small, or you don't need to feel like I'm out to get you, or that you've had an absolute shocker when I take you at halftime. It's just the route I'm going to go, rather than doing the traditional, well, sure, we'll give him 5 to 10 minutes in the second half to see can he pick it up. No, I'm going to make the call at halftime and just get on with it. Because, you know, you take somebody like Meepo off, as was done the other night at halftime, that, you know, that scenario needs managing. He's not, you know, he's not just going to roll back in the same fella the next day without you having some kind of a word to pick me up. So there's that side of it as well. But yeah, all the vibes are everything we're seeing from the outside seems to suggest Joey is managing all of that quite well. We've always spoken before about I've certainly spoken about the massive admiration that I've had for the way Stephen Bradley has been able to handle his dressing room and the amount of big personalities in there and the amount of egos in there. You know, Joey's probably got a similar-ish challenge, maybe not quite to the same extent. Coincidentally, it is arguably the first time in a long time I've heard some negative comments or negative remarks about the Shamrock Rovers dressing room. I think Stephen Bradley might actually be facing one or two tough enough situations in that dressing room at the moment by the sounds of things. But no, again, Joey seems to just be nailing it. It's easy to say that when results are positive, are going relatively positive, obviously.
Before I go, lads, can I just say, I think I'm hoping the Meepo thing on Wednesday was purely down to a tiredness thing and not an injury or a forced, and it was an in-game management. Because I think he's played nearly every minute until the toy is done, he comes off. But I think it was just down to him playing too many minutes or a lot of minutes, and he just couldn't really run, and we needed the press. And Dickie, it wasn't a tactical in the sense that we didn't change shape or change formation. It was just fresh legs that needed to press them at 100 miles an hour. Like, and I think that's why he came off. And I suppose tomorrow we'll see on the team sheet, if he's in the squad, he's definitely not injured. So that's what, and I'm sure he gave him the arm around the shoulder, because I'm sure Meepo probably would have wanted to stay on for that big, big game. But obviously, we've bigger games to come, and I'm hoping that's why he was taken off, was purely just for fresh legs. And I suppose we'll see tomorrow.
Shane, before you go, actually, just one question, because I'm jumping the gun a little bit here. But in the event that league phase football comes to Shelburne in this European campaign this year, it's almost an inevitability that it won't take place at Talca Park, given UEFA's sort of minimum capacity rules for league phase / the old group stage football, which might mean either Tala or the Aviva Stadium. Now, if I remember correctly, according to reporting at the time, there was really strong supporter backlash as the reason for why they were considering maybe going and playing a Dublin derby in the league earlier this year at the Aviva, and that was eventually scrapped. Just what did you hear on the ground? What was the particular backlash from supporters then, and would it be the same this time, or is it slightly different?
I think the idea of playing a league fixture outside of Talca Park, when there was such a big campaign to save it and giving up home advantage for a league game, so to save Talca Park, was a big thing for a lot of our fans. And why are we giving up this? Because we fought so hard to keep it and we were about to lose it and we got the lease. That's one thing, and obviously the league thing is another. So I think that was the reason why, like, for a league match, like, what are we doing here? There was maybe football reasons to bigger pitch, bigger. I don't think it was for a money thing. If it was for that, that would have been totally diminished from all our fans would have said, no, we don't want the money. Like, we want to play our league matches here. But I suppose looking in the future, that answers the past. Looking into the future, looking at both sets of draws, if we got there, I don't think there's anyone that would fail the Aviva more than probably Shields and Rovers. So I don't think there's necessarily a point of going there. It's probably not ideal to play your Europa League games or your conference games. But I'm sure if there was a, if we did manage to maybe draw Aston Villa in the Europa League and that was looked at, we wouldn't probably have it. We'd rather go, I'd rather play in the Aviva than play in a League of Ireland ground. I think it's a bit, I don't know what the word is, to play in another league's ground. I'd rather play in the RDS than play in Tala. Like, Tala's Shamrock Rovers ground, whether it's the councils or whether it's Rovers, but that's where they play their home games. But obviously, it's just probably easier to just slot in there. But I think it was the Save Talca Park campaign that was like, we fought so hard to play or to keep our ground. Why are we leaving for a league match?
Very good. Thanks for that. And thanks for jumping on. Best of luck tomorrow night. And we'll probably speak to you again next week, I'm sure.
Best of luck Tuesday. Best of luck tomorrow. But big one is on Tuesday. I said that the league's one thing this year, but we've been built for Europe. And so far, it's gone so good. And I don't know whether I'm cheering for the Faroes or the Greeks or the Austrians or the Northern Irish at this stage. I'm not sure.
Well, it's a good problem to have, Shane. Best of luck.
Go on, take it easy, lads.
Yeah, so plenty of good vibes, you'd have to say, down in Shelburne at the moment. Shane, before we kind of put a bow on the European competitions and everything, like, we asked Vinnie Perth yesterday, we had the comms of the rather unfortunate events down in Tala Stadium from a Pat's point of view, and Vinnie Perth was on, and we asked him about the TV stuff and why these games aren't being shown on places like, I think Declan McBennett always seems to get the brunt of this stuff, and there's probably a there's plenty of reasons for that. I also think, like, the boss at Premier Sports is an owner at Shelburne. You would have thought maybe they could have shown a couple of games. Now, Vinny was very sympathetic towards the TV companies and how stretched they are, and maybe it's not absolutely possible. What's your take on whether these games should be on TV?
Yeah, look, I suppose the reason it's become such a talking point is because we've missed out on watching an outstanding victory for a League of Ireland team in Europe, one of the outstanding victories of recent years. It would have been very, very hard to predict that result. I would have thought they would have been a level ahead of Shells. I couldn't see Shelburne going there and winning the game. That's been honest. I'm absolutely delighted to be wrong. And if they had been beaten 2-3-0, Shamrock Rovers result as it was, I don't think anybody would have been too upset to miss that. And likewise, the St. Pat's one. I think the week would have went off without much post-match comment had Shelburne not got a massive surprise result. So I'd be similar-ish to Vinny in that sense that, you know, you're looking and going, how could they have predicted that? We're all up in arms now because we've missed it, but how could you have predicted it? I mean, what is the picture going forward? What is the story for next week? Do you know, Johnny, have we got live games next week as regards the second legs of it? Or where?
No, no. There's not going to be anything on. And I mean, I've no version... Virgin has done a really good job in the League of Ireland this season, and it has no obligation whatsoever. It is a commercial station. Virgin will argue that it covers the news, probably loses money covering the news, but gets no money from any license fee. And it's absolutely under no obligation. But, like, what is RTE right now? Like, what is it actually going to show if it's not going to show, like, St. Patrick's against Besiktas or Shells next week, you know, likely to go through to, you know, winning the game and going through to European combat in the leagues of one of the competitions. It's a massive, massive game. Like, it doesn't have the rugby now that it used to have. Like, it obviously, so what, well, like, what sport does RTE have? Like, I mean, and mind Tuberty give back 150 grand or whatever today, could some of that not have gone towards the game next week? All joking aside, though, like, what are they actually showing? Like, apart from the FAI Cup, it's a national broadcaster. Like, and it seems to show, like, minor games, every minor game under the sun in some in some sports and all of that. But like, what soccer is it actually showing now, or what football is it actually showing if it's not going to show a game like this? Like, and I'm really disappointed in it. Like, I mean, it was bad last season, and this is no better. Like, it's really, really poor. Like, what is RT actually? What is the point of RT from a sporting perspective if it can't stump up a few quid to show these games?
Yeah, I wouldn't let them away as lightly on the second leg stuff, Cameron. And listen, maybe I'm not involved in producing TV on the match night or anything like that. So I don't know how quickly they need to react. But you would have thought there should have been a conversation whereby they'd be saying to themselves, listen, if one of the teams do spring a shock result in the first leg, and it looks as though the second leg is going to be a massive, massive game, you know, are we in a position to react quickly to that and put ourselves in a position where we can move on that instantly and be ready to go? I don't know why that kind of conversation wouldn't have been had. So they should certainly have a provision for being ready to kick into action to broadcast a second leg if there is a big one, as the Shells one is now going to be.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of complications around it in terms of the clubs themselves have the rights and have the right to sell the broadcasting rights to whoever they choose. And that's why you get a lot of places like Solid Sport getting the rights to these games, because they can front up deals and Turkish broadcasters. Like, I think the Karabag game was free to air if you watched it on YouTube via the Azerbaijani channel that was showing it last week. So there's definitely an opportunity there. And I know what you're saying in terms of you can't anticipate the results. And I actually don't think it would have served anyone's great interest if we were subjected to Pats getting absolutely humbled by Besiktas and having a studio panel going, Jesus, where are we going from here? But at the same time, there is a part of me that feels it is, for all the Virgin and the League of Ireland and Premier as well, with LOI TV and their partnership done there and how much they've put into showing league games, really, you have to be honest and say that the simplest and best shop window for League of Ireland clubs is European fixtures for someone who's never watched a game, because it's such a simple narrative. It's going to be, if you compare tomorrow's game, Shells Bows, is a big Dublin derby, absolutely. Would have been bigger when Damien Duff and the draw there, and don't have to relitigate that. But it's a kind of a harder sell to the non-League of Ireland aficionado of where Bows are in the league and what that might mean for their league position, and could Shells make a run at the European places? Whereas Pats Besiktas is an Irish team against a European team in a big European tie. Like, that sells itself. So there's a few different factors as to for and against showing these games on the regular, I think.
Am I right in saying, and I didn't watch it now, but am I right in saying that of the Women's Euro 25 World Cup, RT might have shown 31 matches? Would that be right? I'm just looking at the RT player here. So you're talking like games between even small teams, and I'm absolutely all for women's sport and RT's attempts to show games. But are you telling me that the RT could show stuff like Iceland v Finland in Group A, Spain v Portugal, Denmark v Sweden, Belgium v Italy, all of these games, which, let's be honest now, have minimal enough viewing figures, and they can show this massive game next week for Shells? Like, and I'm not on about whataboutery here, but they cost money as well, and they can't stop up the money to show Joey O'Brien Shells potentially getting into the group stages.
I think you have a valid point there. I would be interested, I don't know myself, but I would be interested to see how much of that falls under their EBU obligations, RTE. Maybe they do have to, as a member of that union, show European Championship matches. So we'd have to give them the right of the reply there and see what the story is there. Of the other games then in Europe, I mean, it was a weakened side. It was a trip to Kosovo, and Stephen Bradley left a lot of players behind. The likes of Jack Byrne, Aaron McAniff, Matty Healy were all left behind as they recover from injuries, and he felt, saying in the pre-match, that he saw no benefit really to having those players sit on a plane and potentially aggravate further injuries. So you can see that. At the same time, and I know Balkany were flagged as more of a threat than they are, it's still quite a disappointing result last night in Kosovo, Shane.
It is, yeah, it is. And listen, like, I don't think this is what we saw 2 years ago. We did have a scenario 2 years ago, didn't we, where he actively put out a weakened side in Europe across some games and prioritized the league. I think he tried to put the strongest side he could out during the week. I just think they've been extremely unfortunate with injuries at such a crucial time. I mean, you know, these are the games where you absolutely, absolutely want your Jack Burns or your Graham Burks. These are the ones where you're giving them time off from domestic games to get them ready for games like this. So to not have players of that quality available was killer for such an important game. It really, really was. And look, you throw in Matt Healy on top of it, I would say Matt Healy must surely be in the running for League of Ireland Player of the Year, I would have thought. I think he's been absolutely outstanding. If Rovers got their best team on the field for that game, I doubt they're going to manage to do in the return leg either, by the sounds of things. I think Shell's best 11, best 14, including subs coming on, I think they're better than them. And I think they are able to get a result over two legs. It's just so disappointing that that's not the team that's taken to the pitch.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tricky spot. And I think in the last 2 years, if there's anyone that knows how bad things can get when you lose a couple of key players, it's Stephen Bradley and Shamrock Rovers. So we'll have to wait and see how that one goes. In terms of the rest of the weekend's action that's coming up, we've kind of discussed Shells and Bows quite extensively at this stage. Two games on the Sunday. So Shamrock Rovers take on Galway United, which might be just the tonic they need to maybe get back in a mood, not to upset Johnny or anything. And then it's Pat Sligo Rovers. Like, that's a really interesting game given how Besiktas went. Vinny Purse made the point when the fourth goal went in on the commentary last night with Nathan that if they need to just limit the damage limitation this game, and to be fair, they did, because if this got any nastier, it could have ruined their season, which is such an interesting point compared to last year, Johnny, when it feels like the St. Pat's run in Europe really buoyed them and helped them get into a run where they were in league contention. Like, how damaging do you think last night's game against Besiktas, albeit a very strong Besiktas side with Tammy Abraham and João Mário scoring goals? Like, you can't really say fairer than that, but could that have long-term implications for Stephen Kenny's side later on in the season?
It shouldn't really, in fairness, and it's a kind of hard one to call, because I'm watching that game and, like, Besiktas were so good the first half an hour. Like, they really were. It was like, I'd imagine as a Pats player, I was like, Jesus, what is this? Like, their touch, their everything about them was so much better than what Pats meet week in, week out. And to be fair to Pats, they did get a good win in the league to back up the win in Tallinn last week. They went to Waterford and won. And in a weird way, like, they should have scored at least two very early in the second half last night. Mason Melia, like, missed a sitter. Like, he will score, I'd say, 9 times out of 10. And Simon Power, for, like, a player who's, you know, been sporadic really for his last three clubs in the League of Ireland in some respects, was so good for much of that game. These are the things that you're looking for. Like, there were definitely, definitely positives in the game. And in the overall scheme of things, losing to Besiktas by any scoreline, you can kind of just, you know, brush that aside, because, like, they should be hammering Pats really with the players they have. What you were hoping for last night was that Besiktas would be on the back of the Shakhtar game and so early in the season, supposed pressure on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, they would be a bit off it. Like, they weren't at all. They were all over them in the first half an hour. Like, they absolutely bossed the game. They were, the scoreline didn't flatter them at all. Pats had a goal disallowed, maybe iffy enough, but the Besiktas had loads of chances. They were absolutely brilliant. But Pats have been so, they've been so, like, under par for much of the league season. I just don't know. I honestly don't know how they'll come out of this. Like, they're playing Sligo now, in a game that this game is suddenly very, very big for them. Europe is done. The Sligo game is kind of a must win. I don't know what they can realistically aim for in the league. Like, but you'd imagine top three is what they should be going for. The cup is, finishing top four is obviously the next best, but they should be going for top three. But they've been so, they've been so disappointing, to be honest, this season, Cameron, and some of their key players. I don't really know how they'll come out of this. I think it's a big test of this management team, Stephen Kenny, Sean O'Connor, and Brian Gartland, to come out of this and get them going again. Because like Besiktas were really, really good. Like it was a bit like Chelsea against Shamrock Rovers last year, but all more pronounced how much of a golfing class there was. But this Pats team, I don't know if they've the leaders and the winners to come out of this and get this season going in the league, because that is the bread and butter, and financially at least they've done okay in Europe, but I wouldn't trust them to beat Sligo, to be honest, on Sunday.
Our Cameron, just before I jump to make one or two comments on tonight's first division games as well, just want to correct both myself and yourself very quickly there. So looking, I didn't see the Rovers game. Just looking at it here very quickly. So Matt Healy did play in that game. I picked up your
comment. Oh, did he? Play in
that. Yeah. So he was available. So correction on that. Jumping to the first division there very quickly, Cameron, the goal... going to say the goal of the night came from the first division. The goal of the night had to come from the fucking first division. So it did. But Keane Bargery, get a look if you can. A good tip, man. Keane Bargery's got the first goal for Cove tonight. If you can get a look at the League of Ireland Twitter account, absolute peach of a goal. Absolute cracker. For a team that are flying it, unfortunately for them, so are Dundalk, and they're just waiting for Dundalk to drop those points, but it doesn't look as though it's ever going to happen. But Cove Ramblers, as I say, absolutely flying. They basically, as we know, recruited the Cork City team that won the first division and added some of the best young talent from last year's Waterford United team to it as well. And by God, that's really, really worked for them. The big disappointment, and there you see it again tonight, UCD, a 1-0 win over Wexford. I would have looked at that Wexford panel and thought top three looks as though they're going to miss out on the playoffs, which is in my opinion, you know, really, really disappointing for them. They're now 5 points off Treaty. Treaty have a game in hand. I assume that's probably Longford tomorrow night, which they'd be big favourites for. So the potential to take that to 8 points, very, very disappointing given the amount of quality that they have in the side with guys like Aaron Dobbs, Mikey Rowe. You know, very, very disappointed. Ben McCormick, after going into them on loan from Waterford for the rest of the year, surprised on that front.
Yeah, just Cameron, I just got a message from a Derry City fan tonight. I don't know if he's listening in or not, but his question to me was, has ever a team spent so much for so little? And this was followed with a link that I couldn't open. And he ultimately said, it's basically our most recent accounts for 2024. Then as I was waiting for the message to open, he sent me the file again. He was going on about like there was a lot of... sort of stick given to the manager at the game tonight, but it's actually staggering. So I've just opened up the and God knows you don't want to hear about accounts at 23:01 on a Friday night, but the going concern,
to be honest,
the going concern, this is a lot more interesting for the match tonight. This is staggering enough though for League of Ireland team, and this is what clubs like Sligo Rovers, who are run, you know, as members club, have to compete with and compete very well with in some respects this season. The club continues to receive significant financial support from its chairman, Mr. Philip O'Doherty, who contributed 1.805 million sterling during the year ending 31st of December 2024, and who at the year end is owed such and such. He committed to providing further funding of approximately 2 million sterling during the 2025 year. That is, I know he has the money, but that's staggering money to drive up wage inflation in the League of Ireland. And what are Derry getting for it right now?
Mm. Yeah, it's probably one we'll have to come back to, but it's a very interesting one to leave you with, as you say, at 2 minutes past 11 on a Friday night. But I think we can leave it there, guys, tonight. Just to take you through the full menu of fixtures over the weekend, as we mentioned, it's Shells Bows at Talca Park tomorrow in the Premier Division at 5 o'clock. Bohemians also in action on a busy day in the Women's Premier Division. Bohemians taking on Athlone Town, who can go top if they win there. Sligo against Cork City, Treaty United against DLR Waves, Piemont United against Wexford, and Shamrock Rovers against Galway United tomorrow in the Women's Prem. Men's First Division then, you've the one game, Longford Town against Treaty United, as we alluded to earlier. And then three games in
the between the men's and women's Premier Division on Sunday. So as we said, Galway hosting Shamrock Rovers. It's Pats against Sligo Rovers at Richmond Park in Inchicore, and Shelburne taking on Waterford in the women's Premier Division. So they could stretch their lead or go back top, depending on how results go on Saturday. Shelburne, that game is on at 2 o'clock. I think we'll leave it there, Shane. Thanks a mil.
Great stuff, Cameron.
And thank you very much, Johnny Ward.
Thanks yourself, Cam.
We will hear from all of you again very soon indeed. If you want to get in touch with us, do on Twitter or wherever you fancy yourself. League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with Rockshore, 0-0 on Off the Ball, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie. Until next week, folks, we'll talk to you very, very soon.
LOI Late Night on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 0-0. Refreshingly alcohol free.
Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie.